There's your ass.
Oh, what an ass. Very white. Look, is this too much? Seriously, tell me.
I'm not going to be able to think. All I'm thinking is this your ass. Remember that episode of The Simpsons where Homer's like going skiing and then he bumps into Ned Flanders who's wearing like a really tight outfit? It's like I'm wearing nothing at all. And then Homer's going down the hill and he's like, just remember what the instructor told you. He's like, if you ever get into trouble, just remember, nothing at all.
No, well, my fear right now is that I'm just too... Am I too creamy?
You need to come a bit closer, creamy boy. There we go.
Got my cream... pants on. Well, they're a bit grubby here.
Yeah, that's the problem with creamy pants.
That's from my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it. White shirt.
Yeah.
And the old sort of off-white ivory or beige. The white, the off-white, the ivory, the beige hat. Is it too much?
I feel like we're forgetting one colour. But I don't know.
Any 12th Man fans out there who can comment below what we're missing? If you don't know, you don't know. If you know, you know.
Exactly. We're not going to explain it to you.
Hey, Mark, this is a rugby podcast. We could just talk about the 12th man the whole time.
Fashion choices.
Fashion choices, the 12th man and Simpsons references.
There you go.
Nothing at all. And it's like a close-up on those butt cheeks, which was basically the animators.
Damn you, sexy Flanders.
Yeah.
Oh, that show.
We've done a few references.
Yeah, too. We have. Yeah.
I feel like these boom arms or these mic arms... are degrading by the week, don't you?
Yeah, they're just getting a bit flaccid with age.
They are.
Happens to the best of us.
I bought them less than a year ago, but there was an option to buy like the more expensive ones or the cheaper ones. And you would always go cheaper.
Always go cheaper.
I generally like to go thing, but then I had my partner's voice in my head going, "Don't buy what you don't need." Like,
right.
So then I cheaped out. Now they're shitting out. I feel foolish.
You live and learn.
Live and learn.
Have a look on Temu.
Well, yeah, I bet you Temu's got something that could last a good long time because they were a sponsor.
Look at this pen. Still you gone. It back. Still gone.
Did you bring that back on purpose?
Yes,
okay,
I did.
Good. Yeah. That's a throwback.
Exactly.
What we call the industry
to last week's episode.
Oh wow. But no, this is not a podcast covering all those illustrious.
It's mostly about rugby.
Yeah, there's a bit of bullshit in there. What is it called?
2 cents, that's me.
That's you.
Gets distracted, and that's you.
I supposedly have another YouTube channel that you're watching right now, or you might be listening in your car or something like that.
Yes.
On iTunes, iHeart, Radio.
Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
You could be also watching it on YouTube on my channel.
If you're listening, Tony is wearing a white shirt, some kind of creamy pants, which are a little bit grubby.
Is it weird that my foot's on your lap now?
It's uncomfortable. It's not quite abuse, but it's borderline.
And then okay, like an tell off-white, me, off-white tell me when to hit. Stop when it comes to abuse.
Maybe I won't want you to stop.
All right. Barefooted. Seated?
There you go.
Yeah, okay. You don't often brandish the bare feet, do you?
Not here. I think I usually wear shoes because I drive.
Drive in jandals?
Yeah, I take them off when I drive. I would drive barefoot. But then I've visualized myself like my car breaking down and then trying to push my car through like a busy intersection barefoot or in jandals.
Yeah, that's
that's not a good mental image.
But
so
that doesn't really happen very
doesn't
often.
Really happen, but my brain went there.
But when now you're going to make me, because I always drive in proper footwear.
There you go.
Like, and I have, but the thing about my car is because I always have proper footwear, I have lots of pairs of shoes in my car.
There you go.
You know?
So you could just put some shoes on.
Yeah, for all occasions. If black tie event happens,
you can just boom. You're ready for that.
Off the jandals, on go the Julius Marlowe's.
Another 12th man reference.
Yeah, there we go. For stops, look at the Boston Bond from this part of the broadcast area.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
That's good.
Ah, good evening.
Yeah, piss off your own.
That's fucking damage.
I think that was
only big in New Zealand and Australia.
Basically, most of our audience has already turned off.
Yeah, so.
Because we didn't just get to the rugby.
Well, there would have been a thing saying rugby starts at some stage. Because we will talk about rugby.
For the listeners, though, they're buggered. I mean, you can't just skip ahead.
You can just go like skip 15 seconds.
I remember once I did like a sponsored video. I think it was the AG1 video.
Yeah.
And someone was like, bro, this ad is really long. And I was thinking, damn, if only there was some way on YouTube that you could like push ahead of the ad part and get to the part you wanted to get to. I didn't reply with that, but I was thinking it.
But sometimes you're passively listening and you might be doing the dishes.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, there's legit times when I'm doing the dishes and I'm like, oh, goddamn, mid-roll ad.
He's like,
how dare you, mid-roll.
He's fileting a fish.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and going, I just can't.
Fillet this fish with this freaking guy going on about vitamins.
Damn you and your vitamins, 2 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
You feel their pain?
Yeah, from time to time. But it's not a big... I wouldn't comment on someone's video to bitch about it.
No.
I'll just deal with it.
You come in. I'll put on
my big boy pants.
I was drinking my AG1 while making a sharp little investment on the friendly but serious platform eToru.
Exactly.
Your capital is at risk.
The smart platform for serious investors.
And a friendly platform for serious investors?
Is it friendly?
By the way, this is not an eToro video.
No.
No, absolutely not.
But if you're watching eToro, we love what you do.
I'm ambivalent to what you do.
I was speaking for you.
Yeah, exactly. You say, we? I don't know anything about you. You help him out a little bit. Well, that's good. I appreciate your work you're doing helping out Mark. That's great. But I haven't done my own research, so I'm neutral on you. Okay?
You're Switzerlanding this
stuff. Exactly. You could win me round. No, no, eToro.
Yeah, get in touch.
Yeah.
You know where to reach him.
Oh, all of a sudden I thought reach around when you said that.
Goodness gracious, this is going...
I apologize.
This is going on your channel, so I'm not too worried about this going in funny places.
Off the rails.
You know, the Six Nations is now finished. No more 3:15 in the morning wake-up calls for this fella.
I didn't do it at all this year.
That's quite a good clap, actually.
Yeah, it was nice and crisp.
Yeah.
I didn't do it this year. I didn't watch a single
live match. Yet. Are you... The last game was on at like, for France, England was on at like 9 in the morning.
I was watching the Ireland game.
Ah, you're watching the one from before.
You know, and irritatingly enough, the start of the Irish, which I can understand they did it, but they start, you know, we talk about spoilers.
They dropped more spoilers?
They did the telly, and they were like, and as Ireland got up, and you know, Italy beat Wales, and I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Boy, oh boy.
I feel like that at least warrants like a warning.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen, in other games, I've definitely seen people say like, oh, if you haven't seen the blah, blah, blah game.
You might want to earmuff it for a bit.
Yeah, basically. It only takes 2 seconds.
Well, and especially when bring up the table, just go earmuff it and shut your eyes. Go out of the room for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth a warning.
It is worth it. They used to do that on the news.
Yeah.
On the sports news, they're like, if you don't want to know the result to, you know, Argentina versus the All Blacks. So you used to play delays quite a lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
I guess in this kind of modern age, it's not
if
so much of a thing.
You're not up with the play, you're not
it's
up with the play.
It's your own fault.
Yeah. But I think like if you're scrolling on social media, you're going to get spoiled.
For sure.
But if you're just on kind of semi-network television.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of cable pay-to-play television, but it's not social media. If I'm on Twitter, I'm going to get spoiled. So I avoid all those platforms.
Yep. Yeah.
But I did watch a couple of games this weekend.
You did watch a couple of games. Well, where would you like to start? You mentioned Wales and Italy. Do you want to go there first? Did you end up watching it?
No, I didn't.
You didn't watch it.
Okay. I watched a little bit of the highlights.
Right.
And my
because you were spoiled to it. It takes the bite out of it.
Yeah, it took the fun out of it. And my Sky account, I was just trying to watch over dinner. And I couldn't even watch usually I watch like the 12, 15 minute ones. And I couldn't get access to my Sky account for some reason. Probably need to pay the bill.
Maybe probably. Tends to be the way it works.
But I just ended up watching like a quick 5 minute one, which is not...
Doesn't really give you a feeling for the game.
No, it doesn't at all. Like, it's just like... And it seemed to me from... Liz, can I tell you what I would... Wales were pretty red shit awful.
First half Wales was very much reminiscent of Wales' first half against Scotland.
Just shit.
They were just shit. They were a lot better in the second half, but you can't just give a big lead like that.
Leaking points, leaked the odd try here and there, and the Italians.
And the Italians were good. It's not like Wales were just bad. There's one Italian guy who keeps leaving angry comments on my channel. I'm not saying the Italians didn't deserve it.
Yeah, they definitely deserved it. And they deserved 2-1. It's almost 3. They could have been
exactly. They could have had 3.
And they managed to, the Italians were good enough to get the points on board when they were on offer, get the tries. They look like Ioane played pretty well.
Yeah.
Like that first try that Ioane scored
was
just the worst read in defence. Just really, really bad. Like,
Wales were genuinely just not at the races in that first half.
The scoreline...
And it's, like I said, it's not the first time Wales have done that, this championship. And by the last game, like you, like teams like France and England, like France in their first game were shite.
Yeah.
And England weren't much better, you know what I mean? They scraped past Italy, but both of them you can feel like they've been steadily building. Like France is a lot better week five than they were in week one.
But Wales
is just... Like they've had fits and starts, but they've not really just built.
When do they start to think about renaming the Gatland Gate? Like when do they start thinking about... Like I think him going back to Wales was a terrible thing to do for his legacy at Wales, Welsh rugby. Like he walked off...
How do you think Wayne Pivac is feeling right now? I mean, Warren has had a huge personnel change since then, so you could kind of put that reasoning for there.
Well, he's had... How many games do they have at Six Nations? Five.
You play games. Everybody else.
Yeah, sure. So he's had five games. He's had 10 games that he's coached since he came back in Six Nations, and he's got...
One win
against Italy.
He made a World Cup quarterfinal?
So, yeah. Like, I don't know. They pissed out in that...
They flogged the Wallabies, but that was a pretty bad Wallabies side. That was a
terrible Wallabies side. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't think you can give them much at the moment. They're not certainly not tracking in the right direction. I think they've got talent there, but...
I feel like they are... I don't like to kind of pile in on guys, but that the number 10, Sam Costolo, is getting a bit of grief.
Not quite and international standard.
Maybe not, eh?
Yeah, right.
Not there yet, anyway. It's like such an important position. Like I remember, like you as a Blues fan would also feel this, but like when Carlos Spencer left the Blues, for years we had pretty good side, but we never had like an All Blacks 10 playing for us. No,
we just had...
So we were never quite able to push on.
We just had a couple of good NPCs.
Yeah, solid.
And just not able to...
To bring it to that next level.
There are levels to it, eh?
Mm.
A sad way for George North to go out.
Yeah, with a loss and an injury as well.
Where are they going in the autumn? Or what series?
They're going to Australia, which is going to be an interesting one because two sides on the rebuild.
That's not a bad series.
Yeah, that's a good draw, I think. That's a good matchup. Yeah, like if they were coming here, that would be bad.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Although, you know, we're also...
I'm looking forward to talking about England, but I'm now looking really forward to that series.
Yeah.
I think England look flipping great. Mm. I really do.
What about the Italians, though?
Fantastic.
From what you saw with them, I guess, yeah.
That's success, really, isn't it? And just being... I know it sounds... it's not meant to sound condescending, but there's been so many times where you've seen Italian teams in advantageous positions where they should be able to capitalize, but just fumble it.
Yeah.
And just to be able to be clinical, be professional, you know, be ruthless when they need to be, pile on the points when they need to be. And to be fair, the scoreline looked relatively tight at the end, but that was flattering towards the Welsh. Couple of
consolation tries. Yeah,
lovely little try at the end, but that little kick ahead to the number 23, I don't even know his name.
Mason Grady.
But it looked... They were never going to win the game.
No, I mean, Italy had kicked a penalty a few minutes before Wales got their last two tries, which had put it beyond doubt anyway. Like, Wales just didn't have time to win the game.
Yeah.
So maybe Italy, you could say, switched off a little bit at the end, but it didn't matter because they'd already got the game won.
They had that game won.
And they did defend like demons in the second half. Like, Wales came out firing a lot better in the second half, but the Italian guys just held them out and held them out and held them out. It was like maybe old Italian sides would have crumbled under the pressure, but this Italian side just looked...
This new Italian coach, what's his name?
Gonzalo Quesada.
He's going to be happy about his appointment. This is a successful campaign.
Yeah, for sure. As soon as he got appointed, I was pretty optimistic. I was actually kind of disappointed that he didn't get the Argentinian job.
Yeah.
Because he's an Argentinian guy. He took the Jaguares to the Super Rugby final.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy knows the shit. Like, he's
obviously a good coach.
Yeah. He could take the Argentinians to that higher level. Or instead, they went with Contepomi. It's like, well, he's not coached at this level.
He's Italian, isn't he?
No, he's Argentinian. But okay. That's an Italian name.
Yeah.
That would have been funny if they'd got an Italian coach and then they'd got an Argentinian coach in reverse.
Swap. Hey, we'll do it. Swap.
But yeah,
me, Mario.
Contepomi's coached like the... I think he coached like the Jaguares, like B team, or the maybe the Pumas B team or something. But he's not. Right. He's not like had a Like, Quesada's coached the Juarez. He's coached Stade Francais in the top 14 for, like, years and years and years of, like, top-level coaching experience. Like, and did he, for him, the logical next step is an international coaching job.
And there was an opening there at the...
Don't know why they wouldn't have tried to go for him personally.
Maybe did the Italians win it, or did he get turned down by the Argentinians?
I don't know. I mean, people from Argentina often mention that the Argentinian rugby scene is quite political. Like, it kind of depends on which clubs you came from or whatnot. So I'm not sure, but it just seemed like a...
Who flippin' knows then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, he's just like raises the logical appointment for, you know, the Conte Pomi one is kind of like the Ian Foster appointment. And that, like, he's been around the squad for a while. He's been an assistant or whatever, but he's not been like a successful coach at that level.
Well, we'll see how Argentina go as well. Yeah. But back to Italy. I'm bringing us back on track.
Yeah. Good
boy.
Good on you.
They played pretty well against England in that opening game.
Yeah.
Were desperately unlucky not to beat the French.
I don't think Italy had any bad games. I mean, they got well beaten by Ireland, but that's kind of par for the course in a lot of these games.
Did Ireland play well in that game?
Seem to remember they kind of cruised through it and was just too good for the Italians. But in Dublin...
A weird year for Ireland, though. I know they won the championship. We'll talk about them in a second, but... Yeah, I think you got to just take your head off to the Italians and say that's a successful year for them. And you're unlucky not to have done better.
I mean, they finished fifth,
what's their best result in Six Nations?
It must be fifth. I don't know if they've ever finished higher, but someone will correct me if I'm wrong.
So they could have, if they've...
I think if they'd won that France game, it would have been their best ever finish in the Six Nations.
Well, they still got fifth, or were they...
I think they would have been above Scotland if they'd won that one.
Smokes.
Yeah.
Would have been above France as well?
France finished second because France only lost one game, but they would have lost two. So, I don't know. Yeah. The possible permutations. Yeah, I don't know.
So, does that mean Italy would have come second?
I don't know.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. But it's a pretty good campaign
for
them either
way. If you're intelligent, can you work that out?
Yeah.
We're clearly not.
I would say speak for yourself, but no, you're right.
Yeah.
But no, well done, Italy.
Well done.
Italy looks to be in a good place at the minute. It's Bravo. Like they've always threatened to look good and then would always kind of not, but this time they actually,
Has Welsh rugby ever been in a darker spot over the past?
I think they said this the last time they had the spoon was like 2004 or something.
They had the Welsh spoon.
That's like a long time ago.
Spoons are a big thing in Wales.
Really?
Welsh spoons, yeah. They're a love spoon. So you have like... they put on spoons on the wall and they like these sort of carved wooden pieces that...
I don't actually know if you're being...
I'm being completely... Look it up. Love spoons. So if you're Welsh, tell Mark about...
Tell
Welsh
me about life. Your spoons.
Tell him about
love
your spoon.
A good spoon.
Sorry. I started spanking it when I started...
Thankfully our listeners couldn't see that.
Spoons get me a bit riled up, I tell ya. Okay. Next game. What's next?
Ireland secured the championship against Scotland.
Can I say something that may... I don't know if it sounds weird, but it kind of felt flat. Is that they won the Six Nations, but for a team that's been so dominant and won Grand Slams and done so well, I don't think that... obviously, they're incredibly a brilliant team, deserve the Six Nations, and that shouldn't be scoffed at. But one of the things that sort of we felt in New Zealand, like when New Zealand beats like another tier one nation, oftentimes people leave the ground going, nah, it wasn't great. Because they're so good and we expect a spanking and all that sort of thing. Well, now Ireland's getting themselves into that similar space where you expect such high level performances.
They set the bar so high with that away win in France.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you'd said before the championship, who do you think Ireland is going to win with a bigger margin? Are they going to beat France away or Scotland at home? You'd be like, don't be stupid.
But yeah, I don't think they were able to get back to those lofty heights.
No. So it kind of begs the question, like, were France dire in that first game? Well, Ireland, I remember it being very, 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 very good.
And they weren't bad throughout. They won the bloody comp.
Like they did.
Really, with kind of cruising through, which kind of... Which and they is, almost beat England, who looked like they played a lot better than them. But they just had the wherewithal to be able to stay in the game.
They're kind of great team vibe where it's like, geez, these guys aren't even playing well. They're still going to bloody win. Like, how many times have you seen great teams do that throughout history? But yeah, they like the Scots defended like demons in that second half. And Ireland
sure did.
Usually break teams in that that situation. In Dublin, the
Scots,
relentless attack.
The Scots just defended like absolute behemoths.
Yeah.
And it was really a shame that like the Scots lineout was looking sharp and clinical, and they F up that one.
Yeah.
Look, I'm censoring myself on my own channel.
That was brutal.
I have fucking progressed. they just overthrew it, and it was like after a massive defensive effort, they finally got.
Yeah, like Ireland had that 5 meter line out. It's like, geez, they're going to maul try it here. Scotland do really well, push them into the corner. You're like, ah, oh,
and
they're like, going to
pick and go after pick and go after pick and go after pick and go. They turn them away,
and then
finally get a turnover, get a line out. Exactly. And a curb your own enthusiasm moment, you know, like.
I feel like that's kind of like Scottish rugby in a nutshell.
Really?
It's like just as you kind of get excited about them doing something great, they just find a way to turn it into a piece of shit. Yeah. Like Scotland were potentially going to finish second in this championship, maybe get the triple crown. They finished one spot above Italy in fourth. Like it's disappointing.
That could be an interesting epitaph for you, Mark. Here lies Mark Morgan. Just when you think it's going to go great, it'll turn into a piece of shit.
Basically. That's how most of my videos go. Like, Six Nations, folks, 2024. You're like, this is some good stuff. And then I start talking, you're like, oh, this is shit.
No. Well, he's writing on the whiteboard. Okay. No, you don't often write on the whiteboard.
On the Team of the Week videos, I write.
Oh, yeah, you do. You go prop.
Yep.
And you go PR.
Yep.
Prop.
I pre-write all the positions.
Oh, you...
Yeah.
The man's a professional.
Exactly.
HK for hooker. Yeah.
I do LK for locks. Yeah. Then I go LF for loose forwards.
Yes.
And I go with the Northern Hemisphere style.
Do you go number eight or do you just...
No, I just go LF, loose forwards.
Okay. And you go fly half, do you?
I go SHFH, so scrum half, fly half, instead of halfback first five.
And you do. Well, when I was a kid, it was first 5'8", second 5'8", centre wing.
Yeah.
But no, so what do we call them now? They go fly half,
inside. Scrum half, fly half, inside centre, outside centre.
Yeah, right. Second five.
Yeah, second five.
Yeah. Halfback. Yappy halfback.
I remember trying to learn those positions as a child, like from my dad, and not really, like, why the fuck is he the second five?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The number five is a lock. Why is he the first five?
Makes more sense when you go at the league system, the way they do the counting. So, number one is the fullback. Two. So, yeah, what is it? Oh, no, don't. We won't go through it. I don't have the interest of the viewers or you to go through it.
Tony wants to turn rugby into league. Change the numbering system.
Let's change the scrubs. Just get it in and out. Make it quick. That's why we take out the flankers, too. Do we really need breakdowns? What do they offer to the game? I've got this revolutionary idea. Six tackles?
Yeah.
Let's change
it. No lineouts. Just get rid of that shit.
Yeah, just have a quick... You know, in rugby, they don't call... In rugby league, they don't call... They sometimes call it a scrum, but the other... You know what the other term for a scrum is?
What?
Yeah, you don't know?
I might know it if you say it, but I won't know it if
loose somebody... head and feed.
Okay, no, I never heard that
loose
before.
It's a loose head and feed. So, but it kind of makes sense, because they're just flopping. Like, there's no one binding and driving.
Right.
It's like, and they, like, probably in a whole season, it happens three times across the whole league, there'll be
a tight head
or someone will just decide to... Give push. A little shunt.
Yeah. Because you are technically allowed to, right?
Yeah, it's similar sort of rules.
Yeah, they just don't bother.
Yeah. Like, this ain't entertaining.
So, Ireland, where are they at? Like, they won the Six Nations easily in the end.
I think they...
But going into that last weekend, there were a couple of situations where they could...
I don't think Irish people are going to like what I'm going to say right now. They are still very close to the peak, but they are on this side of the peak. And their challenge is to make it a plateau. But if they've been going like this for so long, and last year, the Six Nations, they really, really peaked. I think that was the peak. And then they, you know, beating South Africa, the eventual champions, at that point, and just a heartbreaking loss, and then still playing really well in the Six Nations, but it's just the standard is on a downward slope, for my money. And, like, I could get some hate for that, but I just don't think the standard of play was up to the standard that we saw in the Six Nations, in previous years.
Mm.
So whether that's the trend or whether that's just... You know, the natural undulations of high top flight. They're not so high, are still bloody amazing.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
like I said, they kind of did the competition in a doddle for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. Do you think I'm being unfair thinking that they're on if that was...
It feels like if you got last year's Irish team to play this Irish team, that then last year's team would have won.
Yeah,
I think so.
That's a very diplomatic way of saying you think they haven't. You're on the downward slide, well, and they're going to shit. Is that what you're trying to say?
They haven't, like, the whole competition, you've kind of been waiting for them to hit Top Gear. But like I said, maybe Top Gear was that French game.
Yeah.
And then they didn't really get it done quite to that level since.
Who have they got? They got South Africa.
That's which is going to be very tasty.
Awesome. Seriously tasty matches.
One thing that's a little bit, I don't want to say troubling, but like, who are the kind of guys who've been playing really well for Ireland? Like Bundy Aki has been playing well. He's 30 plus. Jameson Gibson Park, like 30 plus. Some of the props are, you know, 30 plus. Peter Armani's 30 plus. There's a lot.
Peter Armani's bowing out.
Apparently, but it hasn't confirmed it as we record this anyway. So
I hope he gets in there and gets to South Africa and gives them a run. That'd be, I'd like to see him over there. One last, what do they say?
One last hurrah.
One more time, dear friends, into the breach. Dear friends. Is that from Shakespeare? Shakespeare's play, is it?
Yeah, I think it's Shakespeare.
Yeah, right. Talking about going into war. Yeah. That's how I feel about getting married.
What's your favourite Shakespeare play?
King Lear.
Oh, King Lear's a banger.
Yeah, it rocks. Out. Oh, no, I like King Lear. I also really like
Macbeth. Hamlet. Oh, Macbeth, yeah.
Macbeth is great. Macbeth's a great one because he starts as a pretty honourable guy and just gets a woman to talk him around.
It's all the woman's fault.
And then he does the deed and then she gets wildly guilty and he's like, got a taste for this being an asshole business, and it just turns into an absolute, just gets worse and gets worse. It's just a downward spiral, what a few of them are, really, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of them are not that fun. The comedies are quite fun though.
Yeah King Lear, what it's all about, I got the sisters and stuff, like
the three daughters have
to profess their love for the king,
and the youngest one's like, no, I'm not playing that game.
Yeah That's right.
I love you because you're my dad.
Yeah, that's right. And the other two play
the game and get the rewards.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yes. Out, damn spot.
Scotland, where are they at? Does Gregor Townsend not have it in him to take this kind of golden generation to that next level? Like, this side shouldn't be finishing fourth.
No, look, I've still got... Now, I feel like a bit like you, I feel optimistic, but I don't know if it... They just have... I feel like... I can't talk, but I feel like there's something to them. There's something there that they just need that... Extra level of consistency.
Consistency has been the problem. There's a mental
problem or something like that, because I think they bet a very good English team
comfortably.
Yeah, and there's something.
They almost shit the bed against Wales.
You look at the way Johan van der Merwe plays against England and the way he plays against everybody else.
Duhan.
Yeah, Johan's pretty good as well.
Right, his twin brother.
Yeah, Johan plays for. He plays somewhere in the Velvet. Duhan. He looks like the
people give you a lot of shit for your names, by the way.
Ah, fuck yeah.
It's not a names guy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know your name either. I don't. You don't know my name. Most people say that distracted guy.
Yeah.
The guy in the hat. Or the
funny guy sometimes.
The guy in the hat.
Yeah.
We both wear hats most of the time.
This is true.
Yeah. But I know what they mean. When they say the guy in the hat, they mean me, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, okay. What was his name? Duhan. Duhan looks like the world's best player. He really does against England.
Yes.
But against everybody else, he's a handy kind of... Makes he didn't handy do much touches.
Against Ireland at all.
But their defence in that game was phenomenal. Like, their heart...
Partly they didn't have any ball.
Their heart just keep on turning up and turning up.
You have to give them some credit because, God, they like other teams ship points there and maybe a lot of points.
That Porter try, I didn't like the Dan Chan try because it was just from a stupid mistake and it felt... A bit arsey.
I thought Furlong's one might have been a try, though. Yeah. I know they got one denied. No, they got one given. I thought he still had enough hand on it.
And it felt like there was a loss of control.
You didn't have to have control, do you? I thought it just had to have possession. I thought he had it. Anyway.
I thought it was...
Scotland has been kind of hard done by the TMOs in this competition. Yeah, they got screwed three times now.
Yeah. Very Scottish. I thought the Porter try, it looked like obstruction to me. Like, you run one player up with two blockers, they take out a whole whack of defenders, then you give an outside ball to Porter, and you've taken the outside shoulder of those defenders who didn't have an opportunity to get to you. They didn't make a decision. You're running straight at them, and then you take advantage of the massive gap on the inside whilst taking contact from the outside. That's obstruction. Is it not obstruction?
A smart play.
Looks like doesn't look like a try. It looks like
you get away with what you can get away with. It's pushing it, but
well, everything gets put under such scrutiny. I just like, why did that not get put? Look, I want Ireland to win the damn comp, but I'm like, am neutral, and that was just like, that's a bit shit. You know, were you just like, good innovative play? Or
I thought it was really innovative, yeah. Because I just thought Kelleher was just going to chuck it up, but he popped it.
But they took out the players. You can't take out men.
Had he made the contact before he passed the ball, though? I don't know. I have to go back and watch it again.
All right.
Well, go through with a fine-tooth comb.
That's right. We'll put on our G-strings and watch it afterwards.
Fucking A.
Yes.
But yeah, Ireland, I don't mean to take anything away from them.
It's the only way to watch rugby, yeah.
Because it's almost like it's a weird one where like they won it so easily. Maybe it's a little bit reminiscent of Fozzie's teams winning the rugby championship where we're like, well, you won the rugby championship, but you didn't impress me that much doing it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, they really impressed in the France game, and then the other few games, you're like, yeah, they won pretty easily.
Sports fans are terrible.
Yeah, we are really bad like that.
Awful. If you're like a team on the up, you're like, you just need to be better to win those games.
Yeah.
If you're a team on the down, we're like, you suck, boys. Yeah. And if you're a team at the top who doesn't perform at their very maximum.
Every time.
Yeah, at their very maximum, you're like,
yeah.
It's not going in the right direction, is it?
Like, I remember doing
can't
that.
Can't we just be happy for these people?
With my like Team of the Week videos last year, I remember Antoine Dupont. I would always put him in the fucking Team of the Week because he was always the best number 9. But I remember going like, wow.
A little ASMR for you? Can you just keep
going? I'm holding the thought. Get on with it. Anticipation. Oh.
Damn.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Holy shit. I think I can.
You probably did. Those creamy pants just got creamier.
It's why I wear them. You can't tell.
I can't tell. But I remember going like, oh, yeah, Antoine Dupont's in my Team of the Week. Yeah. But, I mean, he only broke 3 tackles this week and only set up 2 tries. So, quite a week for Antoine. So, you're right.
Yeah.
We set those standards really high. And I feel like we are being a little bit hard on Ireland because we kind of expected them after the first game to just annihilate everybody. And ultimately, they still won the championship very comfortably. So they are a very, very good team.
And I think the fun bit of being a sports fan is when your team's on the up. You know, and like, that's why it's been such a head fuck being an All Blacks fan, because they've been on top for so long that we have just...
The only way to go is down.
We've just been this weird neurotic nation, just been like, not good enough. You freaking only beat them by 20 points. Yeah. And like,
literally, like, that's what it was like. You would hear talkback radio after the All Blacks had won a game. In that, like, 20, you know, the Richie McCoy era, basically.
Yeah,
people would be calling talkback radio going, wow, they won by 26, but we should have been 50.
How can you have Mills out there when you got Israel Dagg out there? You know, Mills, you know, didn't clear touch that time.
Yeah,
like, nitpicking to the highest degree, and, you know, like, the last 20 points, well, you only won 9-3.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of shit.
Yeah.
And, like, that, so maybe we
can. Maybe it's a kind of compliment to Ireland that we're putting them in that. And
that kind of echelon. But actually, last
year...
You won
the Six Nations, but you didn't get a Grand Slam.
Exactly.
You fuckers.
And but, like, last year was actually fun being an All Blacks fan because we've been so, like, wild. It was such a weird thing under the Fozzie era getting regular defeats and feeling genuinely outside of World Cup. You know, we've had some pretty...
We're not the favourites.
Yes, outside of World Cup, we've had some pretty bad defeats in World Cups, which we've all felt pretty despondent about. But feeling despondent about, you know, rugby championship games, the June Test Series. I think Ireland beating us, even though Ireland are the best team in the world, that was just a real gut punch to the whole nation.
Yeah.
You know, but last year was kind of fun because people had written us off and we were on the up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no one, you know, beating Ireland, spanking the crap out of Italy, spanking the crap out of Argentina, like, looking like fucking All Blacks. Right. you know, and going into that, you know, that game, I was thinking, we could do this. You so know, that would have been the most joyful win.
So that logic says, basically, because Ireland won their first game so impressively, everything else after that just wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, I think it's more about where, not just that first game, but where they've been over the last 2 to 3 years.
Right. Expectations are just so high.
Yeah. And that's, you know, expectations are a privilege, pressure is a privilege, as the Oblics.
It's funny though, because Andy Farrell always keeps it very grounded. Like, he always talks about how, like, look, Six Nations is really fucking hard to win.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we're even got a chance to go back to back, we've only done it like twice before in our history.
Yeah.
Like, it's massive.
So, and we should be.
That's how realistic. Do
you
think
we're going to get a lot of Irish hate in here going, you should be congratulating? We love you.
We just think your team's very good.
Happy St. Patrick's Day for yesterday, by the way.
True enough.
Slanja.
France and England.
Cracker.
Insane game.
Absolute cracker.
The atmosphere was great.
Real fucking barn burner. That
so many lead like changes.
Looked like a freaking rock concert was going on there.
Yeah.
The French know how to do it, don't they?
The French, they like going to their rugby games.
When are we
going
to get some money and like go on the Northern Tour and go to all these great stadiums, Mark? When are we going to get a place together? When are we just going to settle down, you know? Do the whole bit.
Yeah, we should.
Oh. Because what is that? Was that in Lyon?
Yeah.
Wow, what a place.
South of France, man. They love their rugby.
They certainly do. And, like, they had all the running in that first half, and it felt like the English were just holding on and were going
They were almost dead and buried.
Yeah, you felt like they were just going to, like, collapse at some stage.
Yeah.
The Barn Dawns were going to get blown off, and it could have been maybe not what Twickenham was, but reminiscent of a bit of a blowout. Because they were
What was it? It was like 19-3 or something. It was a big gap.
Yeah. But then that...
end of the first half.
19-8 or something?
I don't remember. But
they didn't have a try, did they? How would they have 8 points?
Maybe 6 points.
Yeah. But then they got
End of the first half, they score a try.
Was Ollie Lawrence scored that try? Start of
the second half, they score a try.
Ollie Lawrence got both?
Yeah, I think so.
Best times to score tries. Because it was in overtime in the first half, they just turned the game on the head between the 40th and 46th minute.
Yeah, basically.
You know, and then they scored two quick.
Either side of halftime, they scored.
But then they got another one on the back end of that second one. And then there was like the Lyon crowd were kind of shocked.
Yeah.
You know, and it was an absolute cracker of a game.
Steve Borthwick gets a lot of shit for his side being boring. But
that was not boring. They
have showed some glimpses, and even more than glimpses now, some kind of consistently. Like, they had that one try against Scotland, and you're like, oh, why can't they play like that for more of the game? Because they scored one try really early on and then, like, didn't do jack shit for the rest of the game. But in their last couple of games against Ireland and now against France, they've scored some pretty sweet moves.
Yeah, lovely tries. Yeah, it's not unlike most England. I can't think of an England team that I've seen play that sort of
a Some people are saying the attack recently is as good as England's attack has looked since that 2019 semi-final against us.
I would actually almost agree with that. And, like, I was thinking in that test series, like, I remember early in the year I was thinking, okay, England are coming, and, you know, the June series, I was like, righto, that'll be some rugby games that I'll watch and be interested in at the time. But now I'm like, ooh,
tasty, spicy.
Give me those sweet little testies.
Yeah.
You know, like, they look... it looks like a tasty little test series. Mm. Like, we are going to have to be on our game.
I hope they bring...
Because they're on an upward swing.
Feels like it, eh?
Yeah. From where they were in France, you know, in Twickenham against France, where they just got spanked beyond belief, to being a freaking bee's penis away from being in a World Cup final, to, like, putting in some outstanding performances and being relatively unlucky to be in third. Like, what do they end up third?
Yeah.
Yeah. Third. They could have
gone through with basically the same. If they'd not given away that last penalty, which Ramos kicks and then wins the game, they would have had the same record as Ireland in terms of wins and losses. But it would have been the bonus points.
What did you think of that last penalty?
The no arms one.
Yeah.
It's like they were like, it's Underhill. It's like Underhill's not even on the field.
And then they blamed it on
Ben Earl.
No, but they blamed it on somebody else. The 17 who come on, the prop with the
wire. Yeah, Marla.
They blamed it on Marla. And then they blamed it on the guy who wasn't there. And it was Ben Earl, and Ben Earl just—it was when I think of no arms tackle, I think of a guy charging charge, it, boom. Yeah. But he just dropped down to get the guy low and just got his timing a little bit wee-wired and then wrapped.
There was a few.
And like, I don't know. It felt a little soft, but technically it's right, yeah?
Technically correct is the best kind of correct.
Here lies, here lies Mark Morgan, technically correct.
There was another one in the Scotland game when Scotland, I think, got a yellow card. Did they get a yellow card or was it a penalty? But like Phil Russell was like, which player is it? And he's like, it's like 18 or something. Because Javin Sebastian, the prop, and he's not on yet. And I'll be like, no, who did he go off for? Like, no, he's not. He hasn't entered the field of play yet. Oh, shit. it was Ashman. It was the hooker.
But that was a, that Ben Earl call was a TMO call.
Yeah.
In the year of, who's the Aussie, what's his name?
Angus Gardner. Nick Berry. Which
the Australian ref who was Angus Gardner.
It was Angus Gardner, wasn't
it? Yeah. I thought he controlled that game relatively well.
Angus Gardner's a good ref.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. But yeah, really, really fun, fascinating game to watch and just amazing to see this England team. Like against the Irish, there were so many moments where you're like, oh, that's going to break him. And then in this game, like that first half, you thought, this crowd, this French team wanting to perform against this crowd, this is just too much weight for this English team. They're not going to be able to manage this.
Yeah.
But they fight back and they get it to a point where they're in a seriously game-winning position.
For sure.
You know, like...
Yeah, like I said, I think the lead changed like 5 times. So... They were in the lead multiple times, and with a couple of minutes to go, they were in the lead.
Yeah. And they just...
George Ford played pretty well.
Yeah, like he
justified his selection after not playing that well the week before.
Marcus Smith came on pretty early for
Furlong, didn't he? Furlong. That's the Irish tight head.
I was thinking
Furbank.
Yeah.
Tony doesn't do names that well.
Furlong. I like to call him Furlong. It's a friend thing.
You know, yeah, that's true. It's
a mate thing.
You know. It's a Kiwi thing, maybe.
Yeah. Call them Furballs.
There you go.
On some other occasions. Well, he came
up with... But he did really well.
They didn't get their natural kind of change of pivot, like change of style or anything like that. I don't know if that's what they needed.
Smith's played fullback a few times.
It didn't look bad. Yeah, he was all right. For the most part.
Freeman looks good on the wing.
Yeah.
So, no, it's encouraging. So what do you think of this French side? Where are they at?
Classic French team.
Are they getting back? Because for a while, like building up to that World Cup cycle, the whole cliche about, oh, never know which French team is going to turn up, it wasn't true.
But now it's
like France, like you knew which team was going to turn up because they were always quite good. And then now it's just like, wait, you're back to being French again.
Yeah, they feel French.
Like even within that game, they kind of got a bit French on us.
Yeah, they got a little lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Foot off the pedal.
Yeah, a few errors and whatnot. But I mean, still, they got a much changed side. They got like a fullback who's got like 2 caps.
Yeah.
They got Ramos, who's their regular fullback, playing 10, even though he plays a bit of 10 for his club. Legarek in his 2nd cap. He looks the business, doesn't he?
Gee, he could be a number 9 in most international teams.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's going to get more pine.
Yeah, exactly. Once Dupont gets back.
Because he's not quite Dupont's level, but lovely pass on him too.
Confident player.
Yeah.
Nice support line for his try. So
yeah, very nice.
Yeah. They got some big locks as well. They got Miafu, the big unit. He's like 140 kilos or something insane.
One of the things that I appreciated that they said during the commentary was there are 5 French players that are bigger than the biggest English player, like in the scrum.
Yeah.
And you're like...
Yeah. Yep, their pack has been the biggest throughout the Six Nations.
And you look at the weights and they're like 121, 126.
Yeah, you've basically got a... Was it you that said like a teenage boy on the back of every pack? Go!
Come on! You're like pushing his balls off.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Like that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they've got 70 kilos on pretty much what everybody else. Basically
all the other packs, yeah.
They are giants. Times. And they seem to have pretty high level of fitness, getting around the park pretty well.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought they... English had them at scrum time a little bit. Like, Antonio got
penalised a couple of times. Yeah, they kicked at least one penalty.
Can I... I'll be the referee and I want you... We're doing a role play. I want you...
Someone in the comments... fucking said the other day, like, the role plays are like my favorite bit of this podcast. And I was like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Tony and his role plays. Do you do this in your day job?
Yeah, I try.
Do you do this with your partner?
Throw in your role
play. Do you do this with your child?
All the time.
It's like fucking role plays.
We do a lot of imaginary play.
Right.
with partner and with child. Very different tone.
Goodness gracious.
Okay, man. So I'm a referee. You've just engaged. Okay, the ref, it's collapsed. And okay, and I go, Barry in there, lost your bind. Give me a look. Like, so what I will start this again. I want you to give me a look like you're a prop who just looks at me like you scrawny little Australian who's never been in a scrum. How on earth did you rule that? Because I feel like every time a scrum, every time a prop gets up, they just look at the referee like,
God, what the fuck?
Well, you don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah.
Like, okay. Okay, so engage. Yeah, like, touch. Fine. Engage. Hold a stick. No. Okay, number three, you're clearly burrowing in there. Lost your bind. Bravo, Mark Morgan.
For the listeners.
What a look.
I just gave Tony a look.
That was a great look. Mate, what would you give me an utterance of something?
I don't know, fuck's sake.
Okay. Because you can't swear at the referee. But they give some serious dagger looks, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. Mm. If you want to see some more role plays, comment below and I'll try and throw them in. Exactly. If you've got some scenarios you'd like us to role play, maybe some fan fiction, let us know.
Mark loves the role plays.
Hashtag Mark loves the role play. He really does.
Oh, by the way, we forgot to reveal. Ah, did I bring the same book?
Oh, shit. You know what we haven't done?
The 2CGD.
Where is the 2CGD?
Oh, I did bring the same book. Thank God. Oh. For those of you who commented last week...
About what I drew.
About what he drew. If you answered smiley face, which nobody did, you were incorrect.
And what were the other option? The cock and balls was an option.
I forget the other one.
A smiley face, a rugby ball, or a cock and balls.
It was indeed.
See if I can get that up there. It was cock and balls.
Yeah. You know what I really regretted out there?
But there's cock and balls.
I really regretted I didn't go to the extra length to like show it ejaculating.
Right. You know?
Because that's what I used to do in people's science books.
Yeah.
Have a few drips, like, yeah, spurting
cock and
out.
Balls.
Cock and balls, right there.
So any of you guys who commented CMB, you were correct.
Yeah, thank you for those CMBers out there. We'll send you out not a real 2CGD, but a mock 2CGD one day.
There you go.
So this is the 2CGD. We'd like to do a quick little reminder, just a heads up, what's coming at the end of the year.
End of the year. The 2CGDs are our annual awards that we give to...
It's in a prestigious, illustrious...
Players and YouTube pundits and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the most illustrious night in rugby, really.
Overall thoughts on the Six Nations? Were you pretty happy with it?
Yeah, I was. I feel like it didn't have the same gravitas as it does in a World Cup year. Just because there's just that next level, but yeah, I thought it was good. I think biggest loser. Okay, let's play this game. Biggest loser of the
Wales.
Biggest winner.
Ireland. Maybe Italy.
Yeah.
Maybe
Italy. Biggest up and comer.
Yeah.
Italy. Biggest.
I think people calling Ireland to win the Six Nations would have been plenty, but people calling Italy to get two wins and a draw would have been pretty few and far between.
Best moment. England drop goal of Ian's Ireland.
That was pretty good, because that was kind of, you could see what it meant to them.
Mm. Going from a neutral perspective here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, the Irish victory against the French was also bad. It had some kind of big moments in it.
Controversial moment?
There's the kick on the Garbisi falling off the tee, that one not being called back, or potentially the Scottish one.
Scottish one?
Yeah, the try not being awarded, one of those ones.
Yeah. Unexpected package from a player. You're going, oh, he's pretty good.
I think Ross Vincent, the Italian loose forward, for he's really young. I forget how old he is, but he was just insanely good, man. Mm. Like guys like Lamaro and, you know, Garbisi, like these guys are still pretty young, but they've been on the scene for a few years. Oh, Brex is one of the kind of more senior statesmen, I think, on the side.
He's a hell of a player.
But yeah, he certainly took his game up a level. But yeah, Ross Vincent, I thought, looked pretty bloody good for the Italians.
Mm. Mm. Nice.
That guy, Faye Wilbosso for England, also looked the business. Calvin Nash for Ireland, like, he was only really in the side because Mac Hansen got an injury. So he looked really sharp. So
Crawley looked sharp.
Crawley's, he's been around a while, so he should, like, he's been around longer than the other guys. But yeah, for actually going from being around the squad to being like the guy, he certainly stood up really well.
Most disappointing player. Oh, this is a tough one.
Disappointing player.
Player that you expect better from that you thought he's not just up to it right now.
Do you have anybody in mind? Oh, I think Josh Adams from Wales. Like, he kept getting picked, but he just wasn't doing very much. Like, he's been a really, really good... He made the British and Irish Lions one year because he was just in barnstorming form. And he kept getting picked, and he wasn't, like, terrible. But it's just, like, I don't think he got any tries. I don't think he even had half the meters that his counterpart had on the other wing. It was just quiet.
What is, what's
just
the
very,
name?
Very quiet.
What's the name of the number 12 from France?
Dante.
Dante.
Yeah. He was also really quiet until he got his red card. Then he obviously didn't play. But yeah. In the games that he played, he was also very quiet.
I don't think he was
you're right.
At that standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good times.
And biggest Doris.
I think Ben Earl was the biggest Doris.
Doris got an Earl.
Yeah. Might have to replace that one.
Bloody well lost.
Gave away that penalty, yeah. But yeah. Well, that was pretty good.
If he's a British and Irish Lions name tomorrow, he'd be in it, wouldn't he? Mr. Earl.
I would say so.
Yeah. Can we just last minute change that tour to New Zealand, can we?
That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
Bring him down here. Face Razor.
Aren't we having some sort of involvement? We're sending some sort of like weird kind of...
Yeah, there's going to be like an Anzac team, I think, play. So.
Just to give it a bit of interest. That could be interesting. Should we go over for it?
If we got money and time, those are the key factors. Getting tickets to British and Irish Lions tests is a bitch.
Yeah.
Did you get any tickets in 2017?
Blues versus Lions.
Yeah, me as well. It's the only game I got tickets to.
Yeah.
I went in the ballot for the
other
ones.
And we had a terrible Blues team that year.
And we beat them.
And we beat them.
Yeah. The only team I think didn't beat the Lions from the Super Rugby teams was the Crusaders, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone else beat them.
Then they didn't beat the Māori for the first time.
They hammered the Māori, didn't they?
Yeah, the Māori usually do all right against the Lions.
There you go.
Yeah.
Super Rugby?
Super Rugby. We watched the game together.
We watched the Crusaders go 0-4.
Suck it.
Against the Hurricanes, 14-10. It was not like a classic.
It was a dirge.
Mm.
We tried to make as much fun as we could.
We did. I mean, the Hurricanes won it late.
We spent the most time, at last 20 minutes, talking about Mortal Kombat. Going, we're going to play Mortal Kombat after this. And we played Mortal Kombat and you kicked my flipping ass.
Yeah, Tony has me at FIFA, big time. Yeah. But Mortal Kombat, I had your number.
You did
have
I even number.
Managed to somehow do a fatality in our last game. You and did. I don't know how I did it.
And then you were like, mic drop him.
Yeah, I'm out of here. I got to go home.
Yeah. And then after that, I was so defeated, I didn't watch any more Super Rugby. I watched, can I tell you?
Well, I go through the game. So you watched Crusaders, Hurricanes, thoughts on the Hurricanes. They are 4-0.
Canes look good. I don't think the Crusaders looked like they were still in that game for a long period. Just haven't been able to get that elusive victory, which is pretty weird to watch. But, okay, I've got two things I've been wanting to talk to you about.
Okay.
Okay, this is a rule thing that I want to get out of the game. It drives me crazy. In rugby, particularly Six Nations, but you see it all across rugby. When the referee yells, use it, at the back of the rug.
5 seconds.
And then that's a cue for two more players to go into the back of the rug and form a human centipede.
The caterpillar rug.
And then we spend freaking 15 seconds watching a...
Yeah.
Fucking halfback, like tinker it along.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch a guy piss on the side of a wall than watching guys tinker it to the back of that.
Probably and then not do a 15 seconds, but I'll admit there's been times when I can't.
Just like, stop it.
It's 5 seconds.
Stop it.
Genuinely, there's a few times when I count, I go 1, 2, you know, go 5. More than 5 seconds.
I want a rule. This is the rule I want. When a referee yells, use it, no other players can join the ruck. Okay, use it. Anyone else joins the ruck, use it. It's a penalty to the other team. And take all the penalties out of the scrums and put them there. Free kicks for them. So that's what I want to see because it just slows it down. I've just spent so much time going, the amount of time I've wasted in my life watching a freaking, I'm using my foot here, watching a halfback freaking piss on a ball all the way to the back of a ruck with three. Use it. Oh, geez, we better put three more players in there.
I think caterpillar rucks. Human centipede. They are.
I don't call them caterpillar rucks. They're human centipede because they like eating ass. Okay, they're shit. They are shit, and they've got to stop.
Right.
I've been holding on to that. Every week I've thought to myself, why didn't I talk about the human centipedes? They drive me crazy. Get rid of them.
Have you watched The Human Centipede?
I haven't.
Me neither. It's not the kind of thing that I think I would enjoy.
You might enjoy eating ass. Who knows?
I pick my movies pretty carefully, and that doesn't seem one that like that would appeal to me. It's a
fucking crazy concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, anyway, your thoughts on The Human Centipede?
Yeah, I mean, on the actual use it call, I want the refs to enforce the actual fucking 5 seconds.
Yeah, if you say use it, is get it out of the ruck.
Use it, they have 5 seconds.
Mm.
If it's still in the ruck after 5 seconds, then the referee's to blow it up, but they don't.
Use it is use it. Any more players into the ruck, it's gone. You've lost it. You didn't use it. You lost it. Use it or lose it.
There you go. They don't enforce it. It regularly goes 6 or 7 seconds. Cool. And sometimes after the 5 seconds, after they've said use it, they'll be like, use it again. And it's like,
well. No, but I think when they say use it, then the guys join in and they're like, well, something else is happening. They're using something.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be 5 seconds, then use it.
Because that's the prompt to make a human centipede.
Hmm.
So pisses me.
Not a fan.
Really does. Okay, my
second. Anything else?
That's second thing that I wanted.
Grinds my gears. What else grinds your gears?
Super Rugby's fucking final system.
Mm.
It rips all the gravitas out of the round.
Did we talk about this on camera or off camera?
We talked about it on camera.
Okay.
But I think we've talked about it about before.
The CEOs, who they all said we're happy with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The New Zealand rugby CEOs from the Blues, Crusaders, Chiefs, Hurricanes, Highlanders, they all said they like the way it is now.
If you're unfamiliar with the system, it's we have 12 teams and eight of them. If you're the eighth shittest team.
The eighth team always has a higher loss than win record.
Yeah. They've had a bad season.
Yes.
Things haven't gone well for them.
And they then have to play the top ranked side.
Oh, that's tough.
But and surprise, surprise, after two seasons, they have not won that game. They did all right last year. The Reds, I think, played the Chiefs. But anyway.
It rips, like, and then every game just means nothing.
Mm.
But I didn't watch my team this week. They were on at the same time as the Warriors. I've got things to say. And I got the kind of spoil to the result. And I was like,
didn't watch the Blizzards because I had to get up to watch Six Nations.
And it was... Yeah, but if it was like a must-win game...
You would have watched it.
Yeah, like... But if it means something, it was like, gee, we need to get some points on the board here. Like, there's only 4 spots to get here that we have to play well. Every win matters. At least make a top 6. Mm. Top 4 just... I know you're trying to make a product that gives the TV... the networks, all the games that they need and stuff to make a full final series. But you don't have 18 teams. You got 12.
Mm.
Make it reasonable. Like, it's just completely... I enjoy watching rugby and I get swept up sometimes in just the contest in itself. You know, like, I can watch a dead rubber and be pretty happy. But, like, across a season, just watching meaningless game after meaningless game after meaningless game. Because you know the Chiefs and the Canes
are going to make it. Yeah. The Crusaders, who are 0-4, you still think, well, they could make it. If it was, like, top 4, you'd be like, oh, shit, they might not make it.
Yeah, they're like, they have to win every game from this point out, you know. And if they rally and do it, great. But if they win next week and they scrounge out from here, they get the odd loss, they're probably still going to make the top 8.
Mm.
They're not finishing worse than... They're not going to finish worse than the Force, the Rebels. You've got to beat the Force, the Rebels,
Wana
Pacifica.
And one other. Maybe the Highlanders or
maybe the
Waratahs, maybe, yeah.
Or something like that. But
the bar's pretty low.
If you don't make the top 8, you're shit.
Yeah.
You're not shit, you're a team, but you haven't had a good season.
So what do? You do top 4, or do you do like top 6 where like the top 2 seeds get a rest in round 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do top 6 at least.
Yeah, like, top half, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just as a fan, I'm just like, it's not even fun to watch. Like, I enjoy watching rugby and I watch the games, but
there's no bite to it.
There is no bite to it. There's no, like, players, even with the player, I know they don't like losing or anything like that, but they're not like, you know, you see a team who desperately needed to win and they lose. There's a fear and stress in their eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Give me that fear and stress. Give it to me.
The Rebels, you mentioned them. They lost to the Reds 26-53. The Reds, I don't know if you've seen any of it, they just look fucking amazing.
They do. The player who I'm most excited about is McWright.
McWright. He had 4 try assists against the Rebels. Have we got a loose forward? That fucking Dan Carter doesn't get 4 try assists.
What is he doing? Like,
they just love chucking the ball around.
Really? Like the forwards, and what is he like acting like a pivot?
Like they're getting props in there to fucking play halfback and shit. They're just like, go, 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 go. Relentless. Like kind of Irish style. Someone in the comments mentioned it.
But they've
like,
got the skills to pull it off.
Yeah, they do.
Are they...
Sarah Uru with a lock, got 2 tries.
Are they genuine title contenders at the stage?
Oh.
Putting you on the spot here. Based on what you've seen.
Based on what I've seen, for sure.
Wow.
Because they only lost 1 game thus far, and that was to the Canes, who are unbeaten, and they lost to them in golden point time.
Have the Reds ever won any Super Rugby comps?
They won it back when Guinea and Cooper were playing back in the day. They beat the Crusaders back in 2000 and...
Was that the one where... I remember the one where...
It was up in Suncorp.
I remember the one
Guinea scored a nice try where he just dummied and ran.
That was against the Waratahs when Richie McCaw gave away a last minute penalty.
Yes. Yeah. That was over at Allianz.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Well, that's exciting. And it's kind of fun to see.
I love seeing these Aussie teams doing well. The Reds are doing good. The Rebels are a bit hit and miss. The Force played Minor Pacifica, and they fucking lost again. And that was in Perth.
That would have been the game.
That's a must win.
They circle it. That's their must win.
Like, they've had, like, the Force have had 4 games thus far. They've lost them all, and they've already played the Rebels and the Minor Pacifica boys. I would have thought, like, you need to win 1 of those.
At least.
Yeah.
2, you're going all right.
Yeah. But they've lost all of them.
And now they're up for a pantsing.
I mean, Moana Pacifica are improved from last year, but, like, they were whipping boys last year. And the Force recruited pretty well.
Yeah, I think Moana Pacifica, for what I've seen, have actually looked competitive in all the games.
Much more competitive than last year. Yeah. So. The Brumbies beat the Highlanders down in Dunedin.
The Brumbies beat the Highlanders. What a score.
27-21.
Oh,
the Highlanders, I think, were in the lead at halftime. But no, the Brumbies, Corey Toole scored a try. I think they scored a nice maul try. They kicked their goals.
I spent most of Sunday in the doctor's office. Don't go to the doctor's on the weekends.
That sucks.
Yeah, I wasn't in there for myself. I was in there for Maddie.
Children and doctor's offices are not great. I got to admit, my son woke up with a bit of a cough this morning and I was like, have some paracetamol, son.
Yeah.
And he made it through the day.
Concrete pills, champ. Concrete pills. Away you go. Yeah. I rang you in the doctor's the other day.
Yes.
Yeah. I was very calm.
You did.
Yeah, you did
sound calm.
Yeah, exactly.
The Chiefs beat the Drua 46-29. That was an entertaining game. D-Mac running the show.
And the Drua played their part in that game.
Yeah. They scored the first try through Massey, the centre.
There was a good little Drua contingent,
fight back.
At the ground. And we often talk about the Fijians, like they are, you know, all super flying athletes. Mm. Like they're just, you know, speed, 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 pace, pace, pace. But they are big, big men as well. Big powerful units, you know, and run with real intent. Like, and they're all limbs and bones, a lot of them, and they're just hard to tackle, you know, a human being.
Those guys basically need to make Fiji a fortress and they'll make the playoffs easy.
Yeah.
They only got 7 home games, so...
I think, bloody, playing a 35-degree temperature.
They are outside the playoffs at the minute. They've only won 1 from 4, and the one team they beat was the Crusaders.
Yeah, it's pretty mean.
So
who have they got? Who else is playing in Fiji?
They have the Tars in Fiji in the upcoming
winnable.
Very winnable. Tars are also 1 from 4, and they've also only beaten the Crusaders. So this is kind
of the Crusaders are the whipping boys.
And then speaking of the Tars, they lost to the Blues 12 points to 10. They scored late. to make it like a squeaky bum finish.
This is...
I didn't watch it because I watched the Six Nations instead. I went to bed early.
Can I tell you my Saturday night?
Okay.
Warriors are playing...
Did the Warriors win or lose? They lost.
Don't talk to me about it, man.
Okay.
So this is what I mean. Like, a competition that really matters. Like, there's 2 points per win. Top eight of 17 teams goes through.
So it's tough.
It's tough.
You've got to be one of the good teams to get in.
We lost by a try last week at home. We had a great season last year. We made top four last year, which was huge. We're playing the Storm, which is of the light. We've lost the last 13 in a row before this game.
So they got the wood on the Warriors.
They've got the wood on the Warriors. Some absolute pantsings in that. And first half, we don't play particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're down 8 points, I think, going into the second half. We play the perfect game. We play great. We play direct. We score some good tries. We're up. We take that. We're in the lead. We're up with 3 minutes to go by 8 points.
Oh, that's more than those two scores. Two score lead.
Two score.
Find a way to lose it with a 2-score lead. That's impressive.
And I'm texting my friendship group going, this is a good looking second half. We've done bloody well. And then someone else texts back going, oh, I've been flicking over to that, but I'm busy watching the Blues fumble their way to a probable victory over the Waratahs. And I'm like, fuck you, man. I was about to watch that game. Because that was my plan, to watch the Blues straight afterwards. Right. Anyway, so I think, okay, I can still watch it. It's okay. It's going to be a late night. That I watch it, and Pappenhaus scores a good try, and then you're like, oh, no, Warriors.
This can't happen.
Don't do it. And it is the greatest, by Coates, the greatest put down, the greatest singular effort by a rugby player, rugby human, you will ever see. He jumps over Dylan Boncini-Zelezniak, goes like his whole body outside the field of play, up 6 foot in the air, manages to spin his body midair and put it down with, you know, time up on the clock. The Warriors lose by 4 points. They get 12 points in the last 3 minutes, and I'm just that kind of heartbroken that I just can't move. I'm just like, I was just, because I get so wound up watching the Warriors. Mm. I'm like, I'm stressing, I'm sweating, I'm breathing heavy, I'm swearing at everything. Don't come near me unless you're a Warriors fan and we can do it together. And then I'm like, I just can't bring myself to put the Blues on. I'm just sitting there just... Mm. And then I finally flick it on, and it's the post-match, and I'm like, oh, we won.
Yeah, just.
And it brings me zero comfort. Zero comfort. If you don't
get... Tars scored late.
Go look at that try by Coates.
We'll have a look at it later.
It's freakish, man. It is freakish.
The Tars did score late, though.
Yeah, I heard it was
spit. They had a denied try. Stephen Pettifetta put a really nice try-saving tackle in that game.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
I wish the Warriors did that.
And for all money.
But, yeah. I just ranted on something that none of our
listeners actually give a shit about. But Super Rugby's been very good. And if you haven't been watching it, can I suggest you watch some
the
of it?
The only thing that would make Super Rugby better is if there was more weight to it.
Like, there you go.
That's my point. The rugby itself has been great.
This is true.
I'm sorry about my... just had to go on about the Warriors.
The Warriors.
Come join the Waz train. Up the Waz. You going to join the Waz train?
Part of me wants the Waz not to do as well this season, just so the Blues can get some fucking fans back.
Really? You're that negative?
No, like, I wouldn't say negative, but like, I've noticed when the Blues have a good season and the Waz have a bad season, Eden Park is more full.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who will only follow one, and it's whichever team is doing better.
I would say, tell me if you think this is a controversial take, Auckland province, what do you want to call us?
Yeah.
Is a bigger league province than it is a union province. How does that feel to hear? And would you agree?
I think it depends where you go.
What do you mean? Like, where you go? Where is league bigger? Where is league...
I know at my son's school, like of his classmates, there's more of them play union than play league.
I know they play... I'll give you that. I would say definitely not playing numbers, I think league, but I think just as fandom.
I probably see more Warriors gear than I do Blues gear. Yeah. I mean, if you want to put it in context, like if you look at all the Facebook pages for all the teams, the Crusaders have got the most Facebook followers of all the Super Rugby teams, but the Warriors have got more than any of the Super Rugby teams.
Yeah.
Because New Zealand only has one league team.
And if you put...
Why the fuck are we getting an A-League team in Auckland?
Also, there's a...
surely New Zealand has more capacity for a second league team than a second soccer team.
There's two...
they're going to be called Auckland FC. Fucking give that guy a medal who came up with that name.
Ali Williams is involved.
Good for fucking Ali. Go take some more cocaine in France.
Yeah, good on you, Ali. Whoa, hot take. That's not really a take. It's more staying what happened. But there is a proposal for another league team.
There should be another league team.
There's two proposals in for...
South Island league team, maybe.
Yeah, Christchurch.
There you go.
No, actually, there's two in Christchurch and one in Wellington.
They should have it. Maybe Wellington will be better, actually.
Yeah.
But
I know that one of the Wellington teams is called the Kia.
That's a bit of a shit name. The Kia's kind of a fat, flightless bird. It'd be like the Kiwi. I guess our league team is the Kiwi, so... Anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need another soccer team. We had a soccer team in Auckland before and it bombed.
They had the Knights and the Kings.
Yeah. They were terrible.
Yeah. And then they got bought out by Terry Serapisos.
I don't think Auckland is
Terry Serapisos, who went bankrupt in the environment, he started the Phoenix.
There you go.
And he also became...
The Phoenix too.
He
also
became the New Zealand Apprentice boss.
That's right. He was the Donald Trump.
At it.
I never watched it.
I worked on that show.
Nice.
He wasn't good. Sorry, Terry.
I need to pee.
You need to pee, or have you learnt to pee?
I really need to pee.
Yeah, well, let's have a long chat about feminist art and post-communist Cambodia. What are your thoughts?
Check out 2 Cents on Tour from the channel.
Yeah, it's probably a link over there, I'd say.
I put out a video the other day about
I'm not going to remember.
I went to a...
it's right at the end, Tony.
A city called Xiangyang.
Xiangyang?
Xiangyang. And the Mongols had to take that city. It's still got city walls around it.
Do they have a lot of descendants of Mongols still there?
Don't think so.
Because the Mongols like to fuck.
The siege lasted just over 4 years.
Holy smokes, that's some stubborn people.
And it ended within like 3 days because they got some catapults from the Middle East which could shoot over the moat.
Was it
and
just like
fucking the, fuck the place up?
Would they just order them on Amazon? But it was
basically, it took a while for the order to get there. Time. Back in those days, the Amazon delivery times were pretty slow.
They had better human rights in the factories.
Exactly.
That meant longer delivery times for the folks. Well, that's interesting.
Watch some Super Rugby. URC will be back. Premiership will be back. Top 15 will be back.
Is that the one where you've gone on your thumbnail?
Not the Great Wall.
Not the Great Wall.
There you go. It's the Great City Walls of
Shanghai. You should have said it's the OK Wall.
There you go.
Good on you, Mark.
Six Nations is done. URC's coming back. Super Rugby, watch it.
We're going to watch... Yeah, what the hell am I going to watch?
Don't know.
What are we going to talk about?
You're going to watch me leave as I go to the bathroom.
Yes. Goodbye, everybody. Bye, see you later.